Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show, and you're encouraging WPER with another edition of Community Matters. This week, we're talking with Dana Brown. She's a co-founder of Zoe Freedom Center based in the Fredericksburg area. So without further ado, we've got a lot to get to. So here is the interview with Dana. So we are talking this morning with Dana Brown of Zoe Freedom Center. Dana, welcome back to Community Matters. It's awesome to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Now, I know that there are many who are already familiar with Zoe Freedom Center, but I'd really love, just for those who maybe have never heard of you before, or maybe it's just kind of in the background, what is Zoe Freedom Center?
So Zoe Freedom Center is a Christian nonprofit organization founded by my husband, Mark, and I to meet the needs of the community in the area of addiction. We opened our Education and Resource Center a year ago, and we are working towards opening a long-term residential facility.
So you say that you opened a year ago. Timing on that, you're talking like right as when the pandemic was started then. How did that affect you guys?
Well, okay. So it was a little jarring, of course. You know, we opened our doors the day before everything closed down.
Wow.
And I was sitting in the office, and I was praying, and I said, God, I know that you told us to do this, and I will keep doing this until you tell me to stop. And it took about a month before I realized how perfect the timing actually was. Most services for people who are in addiction either went virtual or closed. And addiction is really bred in isolation. And so we immediately began having people come to our resource center. And we were meeting in person with people ever since. Of course, we were practicing safety and making sure that we were following all of the guidelines, but we were able to meet with and help many people throughout that difficult time.
So, I mean, that really is some God timing right there. So as a lot of places were shutting down and a lot of people were entering into isolation, Zoe Freedom sort of rose up as a place that people could still find help, could still get resources and access to people who could help them through what was a very difficult time.
Yes. Definitely. And it was, you know, we didn't plan on opening our doors until August, but as we saw God providing, we just kept working, you know, as he was providing. And it came to be that in January we signed the lease for this space. And it was just awesome how he was, you know, way ahead of us the whole time.
Now, I'd love to just to kind of focus on that a little bit, because the last time we talked to you on Community Matters, it was right as you were getting started. And so I know that at the time we had asked you, what are your plans for the year for Zoe Freedom Center? So I guess now my question is, how did that change? How did it shift?
So when we first, I think the first time that I was speaking on Community Matters, it was in July. We had become a nonprofit in April of 2019. In July, we spoke to you guys there of 2019, mm-hmm. and we, you know, we had a large goal. We have a big vision, and we have really just been following God and the steps that he's given us to take. The vision changed just really on, not even the vision, but I guess the steps that we were taking were laid out differently than we anticipated concerning opening phase one, which is this, the Education and Resource Center, before we opened a residential facility. And you know, that just comes with being very aware of how God's leading us. He showed us all of the things, not in the order that they would happen. And, you know, as humans, we want to go, okay, well, this is how it makes sense to me. But God's plans are always perfect. And so we started with, this is actually phase two. So now it's phase one. You know, you just don't ever know. It's you have the big vision, you see the end goal, you see the where we're going, we see where we're going, but the steps that are put in place might not be in exactly the order that we anticipated or thought they might be. But very grateful that God's plans are perfect and that he keeps revealing those plans to us.
Amen. Now, you mentioned the Education and Research Center. What is that?
So we have an office over in Fredericksburg by Spotsylvania Town Center. And what we do here is peer support. So I have 18 years free from addiction myself. And I will meet with people to kind of help them lay out the best next steps for their lives as they're maybe coming out of jail or they are coming out of a rehab or a detox. And we really kind of come alongside what their plans are, helping them to navigate. So they set their own goals, and we come along, or I come alongside and help them navigate that. Then we have Melissa Brown, who is our certified substance abuse counselor, and she does more in-depth counseling, and she also leads our women's group. So we have a women's group on Thursday nights, and we have a men's group that is led by Craig Lopez and my husband on Tuesday nights. We also help educate parents. We have parents of addicted loved ones groups that parents can come in and get the support that they need. You know, our tagline is freedom from addiction. And addiction is not just for the person who finds themselves addicted, but freedom from addiction is also needed for families and friends who have gotten caught up in that. It's really a chaotic place to find yourself, and then it's really difficult to find yourself and find your way back out. So we do parents of addicted loved ones groups. We also have Narcan trainings on site. Narcan is an overdose reversal drug. So we train people how to administer that in case they, especially for parents, really anyone that should take the training. It's free. But if a parent has exhausted every other way to try and help their child, and they may find them in an overdose state, that they would have the tools that they would need in that time to be able to save their child. There may not be a whole lot that we can do in that situation when our family member or loved one is in addiction, but if we do have all of the tools possible, then we can help if we are needed. If we have, it's a hard thing to talk about because you don't want to talk about, you know, finding your child or finding your mom or your dad in that state, but you do not want to be left out where you don't have the tools to be able to help in that situation. So we do that as well.
So I guess the next question I wanted to ask is, you've also mentioned a residential center, and could I just clarify with you, because I believe you mentioned that is sort of future plans, but is that something that's currently open? That is something that bumped up in your timeline, right?
Yes. So our vision is to open a long-term residential facility for people to find freedom from addiction. Mm-hmm. And we are partnering with the Samaritan Women Institute for Shelter Care through their shelter care mentorship program. It's an 18-month-long program where we will get equipped from A to Z to open and operate a residential facility with excellence. So we started last week with an intensive. We were there for the whole week, and we went over the board responsibilities, executive director responsibilities. It's really kind of a roadmap to effective leadership and effective operations of a residential facility. So all of the legal documents that we will be reporting to the Institute for Shelter Mentoring, we will have biweekly check-ins where they are holding us accountable to the things that we should be doing in order to meet our goal of opening a residential program.
And then these two things, then the Educational Research Center and the Residential Center, that program, they'll be working in tandem then. You're really serving a much wider range of people that way, right?
Yes. So not everyone can go to a rehab for, 8 to 12 months. So we want to make sure that we're providing assistance for those who aren't able to go to a program or may not quite need that much time away. So we want to meet those needs, and we want to continue to meet the needs of the families. So when someone comes into our residential facility, we want to make sure that we are equipping their family members to accept them back out, to help build those relationships. Our four pillars are renewing minds in Christ, building healthy relationships, developing dreams, and serving others. And through those things, we want to help our participants get back out into society and not only have a good life for themselves, but actually be able to give back to the community, to help others find freedom. And so the Education and Resource Center really comes alongside the residential facility in those ways. Programming is really close to the same, or you can come for our classes and our groups and still be able to find that freedom from addiction while you're working or attending school, whatever it is that you have going on that you're not able to go to a rehab.
Amazing. Now, before we move on to the next point in our discussion, is there anything else that you want to share about the Institute for Shelter Care or future plans for Zoe Residential that you haven't had a chance to touch on yet?
The biggest thing is what we want to help people do through Zoe Residential is to really get their legs under them, where when they go back out into society, they are set up for success, whatever that looks like for their lives. Personally, I was released from rehabs and detoxes and jail, always back out into homelessness. So I really never had the opportunity to get my legs under me at that time. And so we want to provide that for people, where as they go along in the program, we start to help them develop their dreams. What is it that you want to do? What is it that God's calling you to do? And let us come alongside and help you navigate that red tape. Begin to walk in your purposes. If it's go to school, we want to help them do that. If it's work in a certain arena, we want to help them do that. And so we will walk with them. And then as they move on in the program, they will get more freedom and be able to go back and forth to work and save enough money to be ready to enter back in society in a stable way.
Now, I would like to just kind of camp on this for just a moment, because you've brought up your personal connection to this a couple times now. And I'm curious from your point of view on a couple things. What's it like being on the other side of that, having gone through it yourself and now being able to be on the side of helping others go through it? What's that like?
It's, I feel like, before I found Christ, I really felt like I didn't have any purpose. When I found Christ, I realized that I had value vertically, but I did not understand that I had value horizontally as a child of God. And I was fortunate enough to be hired by a pastor at a church who began to instill value in me. And so understanding that, I mean, he did that just by asking me my opinion, which is such a small thing, but it made such a huge impact for me. And so now being on the other side, and I can be the one that's helping someone else see their value, it's really amazing. It brings tears to my eyes.
And what do you think, what difference do you think it makes for the person who is receiving the care to know that they have somebody alongside them who's been through what they're going through?
I think it's, there's a whole lot that goes into it from that perspective is, can I trust this person? The enemy loves to cover us in shame. And Jesus loves to pull that shame off. But to have someone that has been there or that just cares, it's important, because we have lived for such a long time thinking that no one cares, that I'm invisible, I'm the leper outside of the city gates. And when you have a place that's saying, here, the gate is open, come in. Come in, we accept you, we want to love you. We want to help you become all that God has created you to be. I think that it's hope. I think it's hope. It gives people hope.
And Zoe Freedom Center, you mentioned like this whole program, all of this vision, this is something that you and your husband had together. How's that been?
Yeah, it was pretty wild, because I'm very head led. Like, I will think of something and then I'll run with it. But my husband is a little slower and a little more even keeled. I'm like a roller coaster and he's like steady.
The guardrails.
So, God, right? It's a good balance.
Yeah.
God had shown me the vision, some of the vision, not everything, for Zoe Freedom Center. And I promised I would wait until he gave it to my husband, so that I wasn't dragging him through something that he never signed up for. So I really kept it quiet for a short time. And then God gave my husband the vision while he was in a meeting at work. He works at the Pentagon. And this training they were having, they were asked to cast vision over a part of your life, personal life, not to have to do with work, which is really wild since it's government. And, usually everything's focused on the work. Mm-hmm. But he was praying, and God just gave him the vision as well. And he snapped a photo of it and sent me a text with the paper. We've shared that paper on our website that had just the beginnings of the vision, and we were off.
That's incredible. That is amazing.
God is so good.
Yeah. So you've made it through a crazy year. You've made it through, the bulk of the pandemic. So I'm curious, how do you see things shifting now for Zoe and how you can minister to people as more things begin to open up, as people start to get vaccinated and you have like access to more people? Like, what do you see coming next?
Yeah. Well, for actually the Education and Resource Center, we do want to expand our services. We are at capacity now. On and off, sometimes people come and go, but we are really full in our current groups. And so we want to be able to do more, and we'll open up some groups during the day. But as far as what's going to change while things are opening up is we are ready to have some amazing fundraisers in our community. Some will just be fun. We have an upcoming go-kart race at Funland. Mm-hmm. That'll be March 27th from 10 to 12 in the morning. And that's just a fun fundraiser where people can come, just have a good time. The tickets are free. It's all done by sponsorship. So all of our sponsors have come alongside to join the race. And as spectators come, they'll receive a $10 arcade pass and some other things for participating and for coming out. Then we have a Faces campaign that'll be coming in either May or June, which is a little more frou-frou. We like fun and we like frou-frou. So we'll have a Faces campaign, which is going to tell some of the stories of the people who are now walking in freedom. And just to see their beautiful faces and their stories is so inspiring. So we'll do that. And we'll also share quite a bit about our ministry at that event. We'll be nailing down the dates, and we'll add it to your calendar as it comes up. And we just really want to get out in the community. We want to tell people what we do, and we want to offer them hope. So many people are connected to someone in addiction, if it's not themselves, and they just really need some hope and a place to go to understand that there is true freedom in Christ.
Amen. Now, you mentioned that these events will make it to our website, but I'm also curious if people want to get involved in the events or learn more about them, where can they find more about it in addition to WPER.org?
Yes, they can go to our website, Zoe Freedom Center. It's ZOEFreedomCenter.org. You can go on our Facebook page, which is at Zoe Freedom Center, and you can see us on Instagram as well. And of course, if you need any more information or you want a more personal connection, you can email me anytime at Dana, D-A-N-A, at ZoeFreedomCenter.org.
I'd love to focus just on people getting involved in your program, not from the volunteer side now, or even the participant from like a cheering you on kind of thing, but for those who are seeking freedom from addiction, or for family members who know of someone who needs the services. How would you recommend that they get started? How do they connect with you?
There is a contact us tab on our website, or you can email me personally. And what we do is we schedule about a 30-minute meeting so that we can sit down and discuss what's going on, and then we'll talk about an individual way to move forward. So everything is really based on individuals, what would work for them, what might not work for them. So even if it's families or individuals or both, you can come in and meet with me and we'll start to navigate this together.
So you did mention then that there is, there's a big element of shame tied into addiction. Yes. In general. So what about the families who they know that they have a family member who's struggling and that individual just is not either not willing to recognize or is just feeling the shame from it and so is not willing to take that next step. Do you work with those families who can, to give them opportunities to talk with their loved ones?
Yes, we do. We will have people come in together, or if the family members are just finding themselves at the end of themselves, we just want to come alongside and minister to them, help them understand how to help and not necessarily hurt. When we're loving someone that's in addiction, it looks really a lot different than when we love somebody who's not in addiction. The heart never changes. That is a true love. But the way that we walk out how we love someone looks different. We especially as women, and you know, not to negate the men's role in this, but as women, we really want to nurture and provide for and care for our children, and that's just in us. That's just in us from, you know, the time that we become mothers. And when we come across this issue of addiction, things change a little. We still love them the same, but we never want to walk into the role of enabling, because then we're making the situation worse. It's the same as when we, any of us, find ourselves at the end of ourselves. Then we seek out the problem solver, who is Christ. Like, that's happened to so many. When we find ourselves in the desperate place, that's when we actively begin, for a lot of us, actively begin to seek out Christ. And if we never find ourselves in that desperate place, in that the end of ourselves place, because things are really comfortable for us, we may not ever seek out the problem solver, who is Christ, who can bring us freedom. And so we really navigate the entire story of the family and the child, and we try to help them navigate in the best way to help and not hurt.
Have you run into any situations where it's the children, whether I don't know if minors can come to you, or adult children coming to you about their parents? Have you worked things from that angle as well?
We have. In this day and age, it's far more common than most people realize.
Wow.
That parents may be in addiction as well. If you look at me, for instance, I'm 52. If I hadn't found Christ and if I hadn't worked through my issues, I would be a 52-year-old mother with children. And so it's very common. And so, yes, we don't currently take minors. Mm-hmm. We will meet with the families of minors to help get them connected to something that may be more suited for them.
Sure.
That's another piece of it. If we're not able to help, or if we're not exactly what you're looking for, then we will give you the resources to go somewhere else. We will get you connected somewhere else. You won't leave here without a next step.
Now, I know that you mentioned that you have some fundraisers coming up this year. So obviously, you do operate on donations. You operate on the gifts of the community. So what are some ways, in addition to your fundraisers, how can other people support you?
So, of course, we do operate off of donations. Right now, we are 100% operating off of private donations, which is absolutely amazing to us. So we are so grateful for those that God has given a heart for our ministry. We are expecting quite a bit of activity over the next year, and so volunteers for those roles, it would be amazing. You can sign up as a monthly recurring donor at any amount. Really, not even kidding, $5 a month is amazing. $10, $100, whatever you can do is celebrated, and we are just so grateful. Also, if your business wants to sponsor events, most of our events will have sponsorship opportunities. Even we have some families that sponsor as a family, and it's really cool to see that starting up. And of course, even one-time donations go so far. It feels like, you know, when I'm giving and I'm like, well, I can only give this one time. Mm-hmm. It's not going to make any difference. Now that I am leading an organization, those one-time gifts are not only so amazing to get, but they make me smile when I see a new donor coming in. I'm just like, oh, that is so awesome. Like, God has brought this person alongside. Even if it's for this one gift, it can go so far. We have opportunities to sponsor a participant, which is an $800 sponsorship that will get them through 3 months of our programming, which includes the peer support, counseling, and groups. And honestly, it really incorporates more than that. We're very involved, but those are the three things that we can actually point to that we come alongside in. So an $800 donation sponsors a participant for 3 months.
That's incredible. That is amazing.
Yeah. We are excited. We are so excited for what God is doing. And one of the things that we always want to make sure people understand is that Zoe Freedom Center, Zoe is life. It means life in Greek. So in John 10:10, where Jesus says, I have come so they have life and life in abundance. Life is Zoe in that verse. And through that word life, we can go forward in joy and in hope and in understanding that God has a full life for us. And so our big message in our culture here is joy and hope. And anything that we may put out that's a statistic or that may seem like a negative, we always want to redeem it with a positive, with hope, with a plan that God has for us to bring life and joy and hope. So we really want to bring smiles to the people that come in.
Perfect. And then just to close us out one more time, if you could give your contact information for how people can connect with Zoe Freedom Center.
Sure. So our website is zoefreedomcenter.org. You can go to Facebook and follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Zoe Freedom Center. You can reach out to me at dana@zoefreedomcenter.org. And you can also call or text 252-714-9560.
Awesome. Dana, it is amazing to talk with you again. I am grateful for the work that you're doing in our community. I know that it's blessing the lives of so many. And it's just always a joy to have you on Community Matters. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And that does it for another edition of Community Matters. Thank you so much for tuning in right here on Your Encouraging WPER. As always, you can get audio from these interviews at WPER.org. Have a great day.